This past April 27 marked the third anniversary of my mother Barbara's passing from this life, and as my dad Harold and I held vigil with her during her final days, she exclaimed at one moment, completely out of the blue, "Spirits." "Huh, spirits, Mom?" I asked. "Yes," she said. "Spirits are everywhere." When I reflect on my connection to Percussey Mennonite Church over the past 55 years, and especially my formative years here as a young person in the mid-70s, the image of a great cloud of witnesses comes to mind. So many kind-hearted, faithful followers of Jesus, and I can't help but wonder how many of these were among those spirits that surrounded my mother as she prepared to transition from this world to the next. I imagine, for example, that the Percussey women folk who paved the way for her were among those to welcome her into a joyous circle dance, bathed in the eternal healing light of God. Elaine, Mabel, Ida, Grace, Anna, Elizabeth, Edna, Nancy, Sarah, Becky, Naomi, Carolyn, Ginny, and Marilyn, and others joined her, of course, after that, Arlene, Lena, Mary Lou, and perhaps others. "Welcome home, Barbara," they may have been singing, "welcome home." And if it's not too much of a stretch, I'd like to think that these Percussey saints, women and men, who've gone ahead of us, the spirits who surrounded Barbara in her final hours, also are cheering us on right now from just beyond that liminal space between here and there. "Pursue the vision," they exhort. "Follow Jesus and his radical hospitality." Indeed, as Brother Duane writes in the preface to the Centennial History, quote, "Many have found at Percussey a setting in which they experience security, nourishment, and encouragement in their spiritual journey." In other words, home. It's no secret, is it, that the Mennonite Church has been under duress, perhaps through our whole history, indeed, but in recent decades, with the headwinds of cultural and political pressures and conflicts of various kinds. And yet, from my somewhat distant perch, the last 40 years in particular, it seems to me that PMC has kept the faith. Percussey has continued to be home to a core group of Jesus followers, pursuing a bold vision grounded in God's call to love unconditionally. For 115 years now, if I have that number right, Duane, it's been a little while since the centennial, rooted in the great tradition, as Pastor Wayne writes in the foreword to Duane's history, affirming PMC's vision in celebration of the Jesus tradition focused on love, peace, and justice, differentiated from the traditionalism that, as Wayne noted, smacked of smugness, exclusion, and self-protection. I am moved by the tenacity and faithful persistence of those who have come before us here in this place, and those currently, you, here, now, who bear witness to the calling of Christ illuminated in our New Testament lectionary reading today from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. With Coming home to Perkasie as the theme today, I'd like to take a brief look again at 2 Corinthians 5, especially verses 6 to 10. And in reading, can we again affirm that Perkasie is a place indeed of welcome and nurture, a home with folks of varied strengths and vulnerabilities, find safety, rest, nurture, and encouragement. I'd like to read those verses again, however, with a bit more contemporary format, based on Eugene Peterson's language in the Message, plus taking some poetic license, if you allow me to, beginning at verse 6. So, that's why we live with such good cheer. You won't see PMC members drooping their heads or dragging their feet or resting on tradition. Cramped conditions and cultural headwinds of all sorts don't get us down, at least not for too long. Difficulties only remind us of the spacious living conditions ahead. It's what we trust in but don't yet see that keeps us going. After all, our bold vision of the 115 years past inspires and moves us forward. Do you suppose a few ruts in the road or rocks on the path or distracting conflicts and church politics are going to stop us? When the time comes, we will be plenty ready to exchange exile for homecoming. But neither exile or homecoming is the main thing. Cheerfully pleasing God is the main thing, and that's what we aim to do at Perkasie, regardless of our conditions. Sooner or later, we all have to face God, regardless of our circumstances, and we will appear before Christ and take what is coming to us as a result of our actions. In my mother's book entitled To Buy a Field, Unearthing Spiritual Treasure, she devotes a chapter to church as a place where a deeper spiritual sense of home is experienced, and that was certainly how she and my dad Harold have experienced Perkasie all these years. In quoting Robert Frost's poem on home, Barbara writes, "Home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in." I've heard Frost read that poem. It's worth going back to. Barbara continues, Robert Frost's line reminds me of church. When that home is church, it's the same thing. When we returned home to our home congregation, after months of being away, we were lovingly greeted, hugged, and given attention as though we were lost children coming home. Experiencing the church as family is both pleasure and pitfall. It can feel so good, it can feel so bad. Sometimes we dress up and look great, and sometimes we let our hair down and behave terribly. But we know we belong in this tight nucleus of members of one family, and no one is going to throw us out. Perkasie has also been home in the way it not only welcomes others, it also has been a setting where people have been nurtured and their gifts affirmed and developed in a context where every member is a minister. I still remember a purple, I think it was purple, banner here when I sat in the fourth row back there with my parents. With the burlap and the black lettering, every member a minister. I have wondered over the years how many others have been encouraged by that message and then challenged to practice it so as to grow into it, as if it was rooted in our lives. I wonder about that. So a few months ago, when Wayne had contacted me about sharing a few thoughts this morning, we were talking about options, and I asked about, well, do you use the lectionary? He said, well, yeah, but don't hold yourself to that. You can go any number of directions. Turned out the Mark passage worked out, or the Corinthians passage worked out well today for this theme. But he also said, you know, you could read some of your mom's poetry, and folks would like that. And, of course, I'm a big fan of Barbara's poetry, and I don't get a chance to read it in public very much at all. And so, if you allow, I'm going to continue now and share a few poems for the remaining thoughts here that, in reviewing her literature, I find tie in today with the theme today, particularly around an authentic practice of hospitality, a true effort actually practiced to put God's unconditional love into action. The first poem, comes from Barbara's book, Michigan Farmhouse. It's entitled Boundaries. Some of you may be familiar with the story behind this one. Mummy bundled, the street man sleeps in his chaise on the church porch. Winter's coming, he intends to stay. Neighbors complain to the pastor. The man's schizo, a community splinter. Church members sigh to each other over life's predicaments. The man expels dark sounds as he brushes his teeth in the men's room Sunday morning while the congregation sings, "Blessed be the tie that binds." The police can do nothing unless the church does. The church can do nothing because he is the neighbor she is bound to love. The street man loves freedom. His feet are light, his eyes flick, his goods balloon a wagon. He knows the hatred of walls, hospital, prison, and is bound to be free. The street man and the church keep guard across broken boundaries. There's a section in Barbara's unpublished work, Fingering the Last, that's entitled Holy Terrors, Holy Terrors. And I'm going to share three of those vignettes. Cynthia has ALS. Only her head moves. She invites her closest friends to the sea for a weekend party. We gather at a luxurious hotel by the Atlantic. Baptist, Jew, Quaker, agnostic, Mennonite, one nun. Cynthia has asked me to conduct a communion service. The congregation sprawls on beds in the room, talking, laughing. I hold up the bread and wine. Silence. All eyes fill with expectation. Love believes all things. Ho is dying in a hospital. A Vietnamese Buddhist, he and his sister were sponsored for settlement after the war. English failed him. He worked hard. He welcomed other refugees. Then he got cancer. TV blares in room 301, young friends chatting and laughing. Ho in and out of consciousness. I sit by his bed and talk to Jesus about Ho, who doesn't believe in him. Am I responsible for this man's soul? Can I trust that heaven will open its gates to welcome this victim of American war? Godspeed, beloved man. I will see you over there. Love endures all things. Jenny is Jewish. Her boyfriend is a wannabe. The rabbi said Jerry could not pass the conversion requirements, but they are allowed to marry in their home, group home. My job is the unlicensed wedding. A friend agrees to play the wedding march. I'm given prayers and proper words by the sympathetic rabbi. We proceed with the merriest, unrehearsed wedding I've ever been privileged to officiate. Their vows last 1 month. Love never ends. Love never ends. And now I would like to conclude my remarks with this poem from Barbara's book, Momentary Stay. It's entitled The Field. Field seems hardly the word for it, imaging up green crops, a golden harvest here instead of a tangle of weeds and rocks, broken down fence and scrub cedar, the sponge of a hidden spring. At least crossing it, I'm not hardening light soil or trampling corn. Whoever owns it will not mind my passing through. My passing through becomes a right. Feet will go this way, wearing a path. My eyes see more, ears hear, all senses opening to the life throbbing in this place. Little gifts come into my hands. My conscience, free as I pick milkweed and wild carrot, carry home a smooth stone, even cut a tiny cedar for Christmas. The field is becoming mine, the rabbits and birds companions. As the seasons come and go, my belonging deepens until a spring when the truth dawns like Easter. My life is here. I must find the owner and pay. I will cash in all my scattered assets to buy this field where my treasure lies. Amen.